Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Peugeot dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.
Listener says, I never asked to get the jab, Fran, but I was offered one by the HSE and I took it. Why they never gave it to the guards and the teachers and everybody else on the front line first, I just don't know, says one of our listeners on 083 311 3311. Now, the latest in our series of Tipperary's Hidden Histories with historian Dr. Conor Reedy.
Fran, we have a tale of a lady called Blackbid, and Blackbid was the Roscrea witch. Now, her name was Bridget Peters, and she had all the outward appearance, Fran, of someone who bore the name of a witch. According to reports, she had, and I quote, a sharp, penetrating, bloodless visage with fierce ferret's eyes peeping through a dark hood, creating an awe and dread which she well knew the effects of on her gullible employers, some of whom believed this wretched impostor to possess some extraordinary supernatural powers.
Sounds like a very attractive woman indeed, Connor.
You'd know I didn't write that myself. I don't have the eloquence. Her practices rocked the town of Roscrea in September 1850, Fran. But we must remember that even as far back as then, the world was already somewhat of a more enlightened place. Religion and education had already given way to more informed thinking, although the idea of fairies had not quite disappeared from Irish society, particularly in rural districts. Alleged witchcraft wasn't as prevalent as it was in previous centuries. So this month in Tipperary's Hidden Histories, we learn of the horrific exploits of Blackbid, also known as Bridget the Charmer. And I would say that this probably isn't for the faint-hearted.
Right.
So, in and around August of 1850, Bridget Peters entered the lives and the home of a family known as the Kelly family in Roscrea. Now, the father of the house, Thomas Kelly, was a retired and respectable publican in the town. And he and his wife, Mary, she was described as an affectionate woman. They were the parents of a 6 or 7 year old daughter named Mary Ann, who had been ill since she was born. So the parents had spent much money on the healthcare of the little girl and consulted many doctors, and they did what they could to give her a better quality of life and improved health, but sadly it was all to no avail. And in fact, if anything, their daughter's health got worse as the years went on. So they had a tough time of it. By the time she reached the age of 6, then she was reduced to a near skeletal state, and she was completely unable to walk unassisted. So a neighbour of the Kellys convinced them that this, and I quote, resembled a stroke from one of the good people called the fairies, unquote. So they recommended that they send for Blackbid, also known as the witch or the fairy doctress, and she would solve all their doubts and cure the child of the fairy stroke.
Good.
So, after a long journey then, we're not sure from where, I haven't been able to find out from where, Blackbid arrived in Roscrea.
Oh, she wasn't from Roscrea.
She wasn't from Roscrea. She came a long journey to be here. Now, I suppose if I was to dig a lot deeper, I may find records of her elsewhere in the country. But someone knew of her by reputation. So she arrived and came to the Kelly family home, where she was welcomed with enthusiasm and warmth by Mary Kelly, Mary Ann's mother, who gave her a drink of cordial, because Blackbid didn't take alcohol, Fran. So she wanted to keep a clear head for the witching. She was essentially welcomed into this household to do what so many doctors had failed to achieve all throughout Mary Ann's young life. And we can only imagine how exhausted and distraught Mary Kelly must have been, I suppose, after years of seeing her child suffer. So someone like this is also a vulnerable person then, Fran, because they've literally had 6 or 7 years of desperation. Bridget Peters, Blackbid, examined Mary Ann Kelly and apparently, and I quote, put on that thoughtful witching face and head shake, unquote. So she called Mary Kelly to join her in another room, where she told her that she had learned the entire secret about the child, and this is a direct quote then, the child which did not belong to her at all, but was the property of one of the good people with whom her child remained, and should be restored to her in a few days, in a few nights, provided she follow her directions,
well,
unquote.
Right.
So she was going to bring her back if Mary Kelly followed the directions. So it appears that the child's mother became fully captivated by the promises of Blackbeard and submitted to her every instruction, unfortunately. It's believed then that there was this initial phase of dosing the child with herbs and so forth in the hope of improving her health, but this wasn't successful.
Mm.
Now, enter into the fray a woman called Mary Maher, and she was employed briefly by the Kelly family as a type of maid, and she was instructed to assist Blackbeard in her activities. Mary's contribution was limited, but she witnessed the old woman, as she called her, boiling milk and herbs, including foxglove. Now, I had to do my research on this, Fran. Foxglove is a plant with which ordinary people apparently should not mess. It is poisonous, but is understood to have benefits to medicine when used correctly by those who have been properly trained. And interestingly, according to the National Folklore Collection, it has been known in some counties as fairy thimbles. You were not supposed to bring foxglove into the house as it was deemed to be unlucky. So it has its tradition, like so many things like that. So Mary Maher was the maid, as I said, and she also witnessed Peter's applying blisters to young Mary Ann's body. Now, another of the plants that she gave the child was called vervain, which was also a medicinal benefit if used correctly, but it was said to have been revealed by the devil,
wow,
no less an authority. On at least one occasion, the maid heard Bridget Peters tell Mary Kelly that her child was not her own, but was essentially possessed by a fairy. So Peters decided that a more forceful approach was needed if they were to get rid of the fairy, and so with which Mary Ann Kelly was substituted.
I can't wait to hear what she came up with.
Oh, well, now, this is on another level of disturbing, Fran. It really is. How the witchcraft or the spells played out isn't fully clear, although we do have some good detail, but it's understood that Bridget Peters Blackbeard began by reciting the following incantation. So I'll just show it as it was, I'll just read it as it was reproduced. Round about the cauldron go, in the poisoned herbs now throw, herbs to all but me unknown, toad plant black with rankness grown, mugwort, hemlock, savin, rue, boil them all to thickest glue, then I'll do.
Wow. Oh,
very Harry Potter.
And delivered as such as well, I imagine.
Would you expect anything less at this pitch? So after this was done, the witch let out a loud laugh, and the ceremony began proper. Mary Ann was prepared for what was to come. She was dosed with herbs boiled on milk. And what came next, Fran, was horrific. On the instruction of Bridget Peters and in the devil's name, the young girl was placed on an iron shovel which was laid out on a dunghill outside the house. She was undressed and put into whatever clothing she wore in bed. A flannel was placed on the shovel under Mary Ann. This would give the fairies an opportunity to come and carry her away and to return the real Mary Ann. This is Raskray in 1850, just to remind the listeners.
This isn't the Middle Ages, though. This is 1850. Okay, right.
Peters called out then, Mary Ann, Mary Ann, Mary Ann, come back, come back, come back. And this was a call to the real Mary Ann to be returned by the fairies. So the little girl was clearly in some distress, Fran, and she cried out, Mama, take me in, as she lay outside, alone, in the dark, at night, on a shovel, on a dunghill. So they did this the first night, which was a Thursday, but
no fairies. But
the fairies never came.
Mm-hmm.
And the same process was repeated then on a second night, and still they never came. And in fact, they didn't come on the third night either, no surprise. Mary Ann was left out for 5 or 6 minutes at a time, which actually seems very short, but really for a small sick child, this will have been a deeply traumatizing experience. Her mother later claimed that she stayed outside with her on each occasion, but there's a question mark over that, I think.
Mm.
The third night, sadly, was a breaking point for the little girl. It may also have been a breaking point for Blackbeard, the witch. She may have grown impatient. We cannot be certain. So on the morning after the third night, with no improvement in the child's condition, Bridget Peters was seen holding Marianne in her arms and force-feeding her more of this milk mixed with these deadly herbs. For the rest of the day, the child remained in bed, and nobody was permitted to move around inside the house, as Peters said she was sleeping. In fact, when the girl's father, Thomas, asked to see Marianne, Peters told him that she was sleeping and that there must be no noise in the house. But she said, "I will have a fine child for you by 5 o'clock." So we're not sure what his reaction was to that. It turned out that had he known anything, that he had actually known nothing of Peter's escapades in placing his daughter outside on the shovel for the previous three nights, and he later said that would never have happened had he been aware of it. So later in the evening then, Bridget Peters was heard telling Mary Kelly that Mary Ann had died, and that this was the time the change would take place. This was the moment that the change between the fairy and the true child would take place. Unfortunately, Mary Ann Kelly never regained consciousness, and the fairies never came to exchange her for anybody else. And at some point, some subsequent point, we don't know who prompted this, Head Constable Shanahan from Roscrea arrived at the Kelly house, where he arrested Bridget Peters. And he found a large quantity of herbs in her possession. So she met him at the door and claimed that she had derived her authority to practice medicine from a book she held in her hand entitled, I'm going to read out this title now, Fran, because this is a long one, Culpepper's Herbal, containing directions as to the mode English herbs should be used for the cure of all diseases incidental to man. So this was a book, according to later medical evidence, that didn't find its way onto the reading list of any of the finer medical education institutions at the time. No surprise there. This was some sort of witchcraft book or something that kind of underpinned her so-called expertise.
Was she brought to trial then?
She was indeed. In fact, at the time, that was September 1850, and she was immediately imprisoned in Nina prison to await trial. And that took place then in March of 1851, the following year. And she came before the assizes in Nina then on a charge of administering medicine without being qualified, as well as manslaughter. Multiple eyewitnesses came forward to give testimony to the final tragic days of Mary Ann Kelly and the role of Bridget Peters. One of the physicians who had previously attended Mary Ann, Dr. Powell from Roscrea, he testified that she had, and I quote, an affection of the brain and spine which produced a partial paralysis, unquote. There was nothing, Fran, Bridget Peters, let alone Dr. Powell and other doctors, were going to be able to do for this little girl, given the state of medical science at the time,
of course,
I suppose.
Yeah.
He did confirm that foxglove was likely to have had some benefits to the child had it been administered properly, and as he said himself, with the skill of a professional gentleman to ascertain the quantity with which should be given. So he believed that a combination of exposure to the cold over three nights, as well as the unregulated use of foxglove, will have accelerated the onset of Mary Ann's death. So the case against her was clear-cut. She was found guilty of administering medicine without being qualified, and also of manslaughter. And the judge was fairly uncompromising, it has to be said, in his sentencing admonition. I'll just read it. He said, Bridget Peters, you have been tried and found guilty of a charge which is a novel one, but practices of this kind, I fear, are not uncommon in this country, of manslaughter. Ignorant persons of your class, without education, without knowledge, shall not be permitted to practice upon the credulity of such people as the unfortunate mother of that child for causing whose death you were indicted. It would be attended with incalculable mischief to the community if crimes of this sort passed by unpunished. The sentence I am about to award on you would be a severer and heavier one, only that you have already undergone upwards of 6 months' imprisonment. So he sentenced her, friend, to 5 months in prison with hard labour, plus the six that she had already served while awaiting trial. So it was fairly, one might say it was a light sentence, given the circumstances. Of
yeah,
the time.
I thought it would have been a larger sentence in some way. And looking back on it now, I mean, at the very beginning, you told us about this lady herself and how she looked all of that. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting because, you know, we had these descriptions of Bridget Peters or Black Bid in the press as an old hag, and she had all these cartoonish features of the witch caricature that we all grew up, you know, the witch in The Wizard of Oz or something was really how they described her. But in fact, in her entry on the Register of Inmates for Nina Jail, Fran, it's revealed that she was just 40 years old, which is incredible. Though she had grey hair and stood at just 4 feet 10 inches, she was hardly this elderly figure, as they say, from that we imagine at Halloween. Mm. The truth was that by the 19th century, the middle classes in this part of Europe had come to disown a belief in witchcraft and ghosts and other superstitions. And this is borne out in the trial of Black Bid, where much of the testimony was received actually with raucous laughter in Nina Court, even at the very sensitive parts. Upper and middle class communities had shaken off their belief in heathenish superstitions by, say, around about by this time, by the 1850s. Ghosts and witches and omens were thus increasingly classified, I suppose, as popular superstitions, worthy only of the uneducated and the lowly who didn't have the wherewithal to recognise any better. Alongside this, then, active opposition had grown to magical beliefs, and this had escalated considerably. But, you know, Black Bid was tried in 1851, not for being a witch, but witchcraft, if you like, was at the front and centre of the narrative in her killing of Mary Ann Kelly. But as I was drawing all these threads together, Fran, one thing is important that we remember here. While witchcraft and such notions were, as I said, fast fading from society, this happened in 1850. This happened a full 45 years before the burning of Bridget Cleary.
Isn't that very interesting?
Was a story completely consumed by notions of fairies and the other world and all of that.
Very interesting indeed. Connor, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for that.
No problem, Fran. Delighted.
Thank you. That's the great Dr. Connor Reedy, and again, people saying he should put a book together. He should compile all of those great stories in a book. You never know. It just might happen. The latest we're hearing is that teachers' unions are to hold ballots to strike action unless the government agrees to prioritise their members for vaccination by the end of the current school year. Now, the move follows a shared motion, which was supported by delegates, at all three teachers' unions' conferences this morning. Okay, so that's the decision where that is concerned. We'll take a break and then we'll talk gardening.
Join the conversation in Tipperary. Contact us through Facebook, Twitter, or email tiptoday@tipfm.com. Tip FM's Tip Today with Fran Curry.
In association with Slattery's of Pecan, Tipperary's main Subaru dealer. Slattery's Garage Pecan, the name you can trust for over 50 years in the Premier County. Slattery'sGarage.ie.